text tonight is to be found in Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. On a certain evening, following the daytime of the Sabbath, some 2,000 years ago, whilst our Lord was here upon earth, many were brought unto him who were in need, and they were blessed by him. Well, dear congregation, it is my prayer tonight that poor, needy sinners would be brought to Jesus and would find such blessing in him, that they would know that healing for the soul which we read of in Psalm 103 and also there in Matthew chapter 9. Now consider here this evening before us tonight. In the cool of the day, needy men and women were brought unto Jesus. And it's our prayer as them that many would be brought to Jesus. Now many on this particular evening would have Christ on view with their eyes and would hear his voice. They were in need. They were brought. They could not get there themselves. They were brought and they would see Jesus and they would hear his voice and they would be blessed in him. Or that many would be brought and that many would view Christ having faith put within, that they might hear his lovely voice, that many would be blessed in him tonight. In a moment we're going to sing those words in Psalm 72 verse 17. And men shall be blessed in him, considering the Lord Jesus Christ, that his name shall continue forever. He will continue to reign. He will continue to reign on the throne. He will receive men and women. Men shall be blessed in him, as certain ones were blessed in him all those years ago. Or that certain ones tonight would be blessed by Jesus. Now in turning to our text we read, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. As we come to our text tonight, first of all, sinners in need. Secondly, Christ the physician. And then thirdly, going to Jesus. Sinners in need, Christ the physician, and going to Jesus. Sinners in need. Notice verse 40 again. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. The sun was setting, it was now the cool of the day. The daytime of the Sabbath was past, and it was more fitting now, as many thought, to bring those who were in need unto our Lord. But there was also this coolness. It was a better time for so many to be brought unto our Lord. Now there were physicians in the days of our Lord. That's plain. You remember that certain lady recorded for us in Mark 5 verse 26. She had suffered many things of many physicians. There were physicians. However, there was not the medicine of today. Neither was there the large hospitals where many could be taken. And many suffered like the lady in Mark chapter 5 and only got worse. And many here were just getting worse and worse. So many were brought unto Jesus in the cool of the day. Now we read there of those that were sick with divers diseases. We can think of certain ailments, certain sicknesses that many of these people were suffering. However, we particularly consider tonight, there is a sickness, there is a disease that has affected all men, and that is sin. Our Lord has made that abundantly plain in Matthew chapter 9. You listen to these words. And when the Pharisees saw it, verse 11, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And you see there the mercy of the Lord to those who are sick in sin. The Lord makes it plain there's a sickness. There is the disease of sin. Sick within. There's a disease within. And if you turn in your own time to 1 Kings 8 verse 38, we read of the plague of his own heart. The plague of his own heart. 1 Kings 8 verse 38. The sin, the plague. The Puritan Ralph Bennings wrote, Sin is called the plague of the heart, which is more worse than any other sore of the body. Such a plague, such a sickness, a disease within. Now think of this nation. It is sick. Back in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 15, verse 4 rather, we read, Our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. And there the prophet is thinking of the nation that was before him. We think of our nation tonight. Our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Verse 5, the whole head is sick. What iniquity is piled up against this nation? So many sins are piled up against this nation. Consider the immorality all around us. It's right in your face at times, isn't it? And consider the blasphemy. And then above all other, the unbelief. What a sick nation we are living in. So many do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, sinful nation, to reject Jesus Christ. What a sin-sick nation is Great Britain at this very time. Oh, that God would have mercy upon us. As it was in Isaiah's days, the nation today is sick. Such sinness has gripped this nation. And it's getting worse. We think of that lady who had tried many physicians but only got worse. Great Britain is just getting worse and worse. And unless the Lord intervenes, what sickness, what sin will further grip this nation? The nation is sick. But then consider particularly the individual. We see that, do we not, in Matthew chapter 9. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He came to call sinners to repentance. Now we as believers are troubled still with indwelling sin. And we know it all too well. You recall those words of the apostle in Romans 7 verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. And then a little later in verse 18, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin that dwells in me. And you notice there the apostle, he speaks of the evil. And when we're humble before the Lord, we know the evil that still remains in our soul. The sin that dwells within. Temptations come our way. And the heart flutters, indwelling sin. Romans 7 verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This warring. You know what it is to have that battle. You're battling with sin. The temptation can be so strong. And it's hard to know at times, is it from outside or is it in your heart, the temptation? And there's a warring. We battle with sin. We are marred by it. We're not perfect. We need to fight against it. Sin will remain within until we die. We're marred. However, particularly consider here tonight, the unrepentant, those who are without Christ, those who are seen as guilty before God, the judge, those that have not known pardon, that healing for their soul. Think particularly of the unconverted, those who are not forgiven this evening hour. Oh, the disease of sin has such a grip on man, such a grip, you can see it all around. We're all sinners. In Romans 5 verse 12 we read, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The covenant of works which was made with Adam was broken. And mankind was shipwrecked in Adam. And all sin since then has had such a grip on men and women. Think of original sin imputed, the guilt of Adam's first transgression, and then original sin inherent, and we particularly focus on this tonight, the want of original righteousness and the corruption of the whole nature. It's affected the whole nature. There's a want of original righteousness. Man was made perfect, we read in Ecclesiastes, but he sought out inventions. You know, sir. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That Adam and Eve were perfect, but then they fell. Were they able to look back on that state of innocence? And yet they were sinners now. Man was made perfect, but they sought out inventions. And so there is today the want of original righteousness and the corruption of the whole nature. Job saw this plainly. Job 14 verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Original sin. And in time one is found committing actual sin. All are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, how sin has gripped mankind. And then consider the guilt of sin. Before God's all-seeing eye, and there he sits as judge. He looks on men without Christ as so guilty, being so sick. What misery men are in. Think further tonight, if we think of the disease of sin, what bondage man is in by nature. One is so gripped by sin, it so affects them. It affects how they think. It affects how they view things. We live in a society where immorality is promoted all around. And sin has so affected men and women that when they see certain things, their heart is moved. Sin has affected how one handles things. It affects how one acts, how they live. Sin has affected how men speak. They speak against my own lovely Saviour. Once did I. Oh, what grace that saved a wretch like me. That now I have loving thoughts of Christ instead of bitter thoughts and thoughts of hatred. But oh, consider the sin that's so gripping men. They're against Christ. And then consider how sin is attractive to men. and woman. So attractive, they're living for sin. And it's getting worse. In Mark chapter 5, verse 26, we read of this lady and that suffered many things of many physicians and that spent all that she had and nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And the one without Christ is growing worse. They may try certain things, but it does not prevail. They're getting worse. If you're without Christ, you're getting worse. Consider the sinner, they're committing more and more actual sin. And so what's happening before God as judge, more and more sins are being piled up on them. The pile of sins is getting larger and greater. If you're without Christ, the pile of sins is mounting up more and more. And if you do not flee to Christ, it will get larger and larger. As God looks on sinners, what a mountain of sin is accumulating upon them. It's getting worse. On one goes in sin. More and more sins are committed. More and more sins are piled against them. Oh, one is in the grip of sin. And then further, they're under condemnation. The wrath of God is on them. And they're facing a lost eternity in a place called hell. And the one who dies in their sins will go to hell with all their sins piled on them. What a thought. The sickness that is in the heart of men. The disease of sin. Go back to 1 Kings 8 verse 38. The plague of his own heart. Dear child of God, we are so thankful we have been delivered from the bondage of sin, but we know what indwelling sin still is. And there's a battle, but consider those without Christ, they're so gripped, there's such a plague in their soul, such blindness, and the plague has gone over all their heart, in every faculty of their soul. Think of the plague of a man's heart this night. We think firstly then of sinners in need. Secondly, Christ the physician, verse 40. Christ the physician. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on them. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. The sick were brought to Jesus. Now the Lord performed many miracles. You notice that at the end of verse 40. He laid his hands on every one of them. So many were diseased and they were brought to Jesus and the Lord healed them all. There was a number before him and his compassion reached to them all. The sick were healed and the devils were cast out, as we note in Mark chapter 1. He healed them. Now the Lord in his providence in these days doth continue to make many better. Some know a restoring. On Tuesday last week I went to see my auntie. And she has just come through lung surgery for cancer. Surgery rather for lung cancer. And she's made an amazing recovery. Yes, there was the surgeon's hand, but overall, there was the hand of God. And it's amazing to see my auntie. Some children have survived meningitis. In providence, some know a recovery. And we give God the glory for it. However, we must recognize there is the thorn in the flesh. At this point, come with me to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through to verse 9. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. It was the thorn in the flesh, and it hurt. It was a hindrance to him at times. And he kept praying. And you may be one who are hindered by something, some thorn in the flesh, and you're praying and you're praying. What does the Lord say to you tonight? My grace is sufficient for thee. It's sufficient. His strengthening grace, His upholding grace. There are some afflictions we do not get over in this life, but His grace is there to support you and to support me. So there's healing. And we can look back where we've known a restoring from disease or sickness at times, and we can give God the glory. However, particularly tonight, consider Christ is the great physician for the soul. Back in Matthew 9, we read those words, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." As we considered already tonight, sin has such a grip on men. Men are guilty, and their sins keep piling up on them. Yet there is pardon for the elect sinner who believes. There is forgiveness. There is a covering, Christ's righteousness. One is pardoned. One is accepted. There is healing for the soul. And the believer now is covered by Christ's righteousness. Their sins are forgiven. Psalm 147 verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He healeth. The broken, the heart has been broken, shattered by sin. But He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. There's forgiveness, there's covering. Your sins are forgiven. In Isaiah 33 verse 24 we read these words. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. You see, the sickness of sin, but there's healing. And what is that healing particularly focused on? It's pardon. The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven. There's healing for the soul. Turn with me to Psalm 103. Those lovely words, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now we can there in verse 3 think of how the physician at times heals. And dear brethren, one day we will be free from this body of disease, and we will know no sickness again in Emmanuel's land. When we go to heaven, no more sickness, no more colds, no more toothache, no pain in the chest, no pain in other parts of the body. It would all be gone, and we can look forward in anticipation, who healeth thy diseases. But then we particularly focus, there is healing for the disease of sin, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. There's forgiveness. I'm not sick, I'm forgiven. Not guilty, no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1. Forgiveth all thine iniquities. What pardon it is. And upon the event of faith, because of God's grace and Christ's righteousness, all one's sins are pardoned. All forgiven. There's the sickness of sin. We're guilty. But upon the event of faith, all sins. Past sins. Is there some sin in the past that's troubling you? You who went to faith, it is forgiven. Present sins. And future sins. As we thought on Wednesday, David, consider God who knew him altogether, as the psalmist considered in Psalm 139, and he knows us altogether. He inhabits eternity. His knowledge is so great, it is infinite, and he knows everything we're going to do from now till we are delivered from this body of sin. He knows every sin we are going to commit, the sins with our hands, the sins with our eyes. When temptations come, and because of the sin within our hearts, we yield to it. The sins in our soul, they're all forgiven. Yes, we were not made perfect and we need to seek fatherly forgiveness. But when we consider upon the event of faith, there's judicial forgiveness. And we read of it here, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, they're all forgiven. Such healing for the soul. And that healing of Christ means the wrath of God will not find you out. One was guilty, under condemnation, under the wrath and curse of God. But then there's healing. How precious is the healing through Jesus Christ. It covers all my sins. And I am accepted. His righteousness covers me. In the Song of Solomon we feel our sin, our indwelling sin, I am black. But then we read, but comely. Because of Christ we are comely. There's this healing for the soul. Note these words here again tonight. And when the sun was setting, all they that had in me sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. He put his hands on them. As the Lord put his hands on you, as he brought you to himself, you could not get there yourself, as we shall note in a moment. Did he lay his hands on you? In Proverbs we see he stretches out the hand. Then he gets hold of the elect sinner. And he brings them to the fold. And because of his righteousness, all their sins are pardoned. And they are accepted. He laid his hand on them. As Jesus laid his hands on you, are you pardoned? Can you say, as we read in Isaiah 33, I am not sick, my sins are forgiven? Has he got hold of you? You consider the scene, it's the end of the day. There's the coolness, and they're being brought to Jesus, and they see him, and then they know healing. Oh, what a blessing to have been brought to Jesus. To see him with the eye of faith and to know healing in the soul. The Lord touched them. Has the Lord touched your heart? Has faith been put within? Are your sins forgiven? Oh, consider Christ the physician. If we think of that lady who had the issue of blood, she went to many other physicians and they did her no good. Men and women are going to many other physicians. And they're doing them no good. There's only one physician for the soul. Only one can bring about healing for the soul. Only one can bring about that forgiveness. And it's Jesus Christ. He is the physician. Unto him men are to go. Secondly, Christ the physician. But thirdly and finally tonight, going to Jesus. Going to Jesus. Verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. Now notice there, they were brought to Jesus. They couldn't get there themselves. And no man can get to Jesus by themselves. They have to be brought. Brought through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. By nature, men are dead in trespasses and sins. Sin so grips them, they're in bondage. Because of the disease of sin, they cannot walk in the right way. Because of the disease of sin, it's affected their eyes. They cannot look to Jesus. Sin has so gripped them, gripped every faculty of the soul. One must be brought to Jesus. Left to myself, sin would so still grip my soul. But oh, I was brought. The Lord got hold of me. He used his word. The Holy Spirit took the word and took me, and I was brought. Oh, that men will be brought to him tonight through the word and through his spirit. Now consider here men and women, boys and girls going to Jesus. They were brought. Can I ask you? Have you been brought to him? Have you gone? Have you known that life in him? Now Jesus said, come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden. And as we see in Isaiah chapter 1, and there in the New Testament in Timothy, laden with sins, come unto me. It says Christ. Now in the Old Testament, when there was want in the land of Egypt, we read this in Genesis 41 verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. Go unto Joseph. There was want, there was great need. And there's great need in this country. And there's great need in the heart of men. Go unto Joshua. No, go unto Jesus. Now those who went to Joseph knew provision. And there is provision to be found in Jesus. There is provision through Christ. Go not to Joseph, but unto Jesus. And Jesus says, come unto me. And view the scene here tonight. In the cool of the day, as the sun was setting, there were people being brought to Jesus. We don't see it much today, do we? Oh, that many will be brought to Jesus. He is the physician of the soul. If you're without Christ, he is the physician. Oh, that you will be brought to him. What a lovely scene. There he is. And men and women, boys and girls are being brought to him. And he touches them all. And he heals them all. What compassion. They had diseases. We don't know what their diseases were, but there were some very horrible diseases in those days. And yet the Lord touched them. When I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, live. You remember the Good Samaritan? He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And here our Lord, those with disease, and there were some horrid diseases in those days, they were brought to Jesus, and he touches them. Men by nature have a horrid disease within, so vile, the plague of the heart. But Christ, in effectual calling, gets hold of a sinner. How amazing is my Saviour. He saw the plague that was so burning in my soul. And he got hold of me. He touched them all. The Apostle Paul, he felt himself to be the chiefest of sinners. Yet he was blessed by Christ. And you may feel tonight, I've done so much wrong. No tear, the Lord put his hands on them all. What compassion. And the one who is brought to Christ will discover the compassion that is in his heart. What amazing Saviour who came into the world to save, who died on the cross for a wretch like me. And in effectual calling took hold of me. What compassion to come to me. I'm glad you don't know all my sins, but Jesus does. And it did not stop him. What a wonderful Saviour I have. When he looked on me and saw all my sins that I would do in my whole life, he didn't go away. He took hold of me. He took me and he saved me. What compassion. Oh, that sinners would be brought to Christ tonight. You consider the scene further. They're being brought. He didn't turn them away. Oh, that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He did not cast away these people. He will not cast away you if you're without Christ, if you are brought to him. He sees you in all your sin. He knows you for what you really are, but he won't turn you away. And dear child of God, though he knows all our sins, and he sees us at times falling into temptation, he still won't turn you away. He knows all my sins from this very moment until I leave this world, but he will not for one moment consider turning me away. Those who go to Jesus will not be turned away, not in that initial time, nor never. And as you think of the future, those of you who have been blessed by Christ, he will not turn you away, though we backslide and we grieve our Heavenly Father. And at times we need to know the rod of correction, but he will bring us back. And then when death comes, and you come to the last valley, he won't turn you away. When you come to death itself, he won't turn you away. He'll be pleading your cause. He'll be making intercession for you. I died for them. They were healed by my precious blood, covered by my righteousness. All is well for them. He won't turn you away at death. In the veil of death, you may not sense the Lord's nearness for a while. You may be troubled. Where is he? He won't turn you away. What compassion. He didn't turn away these sinners. He did not turn away me. Oh, the sinners will be brought to Jesus tonight, that they would discover the compassion of Christ, that their hearts would be touched. All these men and women here, their bodies were touched, but also their souls. Their hearts were touched. Oh, for hearts to be touched. Well, in closing, dear child of God, yes, we've been forgiven our sin by God in the capacity of a judge. There's been that healing for our soul. But is there some sin still troubling you tonight? Yes, it's been forgiven by God in the capacity of a judge, but we weren't made perfect and we fall into sin. Is there some sin troubling you? Go to Jesus afresh tonight. There will be forgiveness. There will be fatherly forgiveness this time for you. Is there some sin troubling you this evening hour? Look where you're to go to in verse 40, in the evening hour of this day. It's to Jesus. Maybe some sin comes troubling your heart in the eventide of your life. And no, the older we get, sin doesn't get any easier. In the eventide of your life, you may be so troubled by sin. Learn the lesson here. Go to Jesus. There will be forgiveness. There will be fatherly forgiveness. And peace in time will settle in your soul again. Are you troubled tonight? Peace is disturbed here below, isn't it? Because of sin at times. Are you disturbed? Something you've done, you know you've failed the Lord. Go to Jesus. There will be fatherly forgiveness. He will not turn you away. You failed him like a sheep. You've wandered astray. You've backslidden. You failed him. You've forgotten Calvary when you committed that sin. Go to Jesus. He will not turn you away. Your soul may be troubled. You failed your Savior. Go to him. There will be forgiveness, and in time, peace will settle in your soul again. One more thing. Consider here this scene. In the evening after the daytime of the Sabbath, there were a people near to Jesus. In the evening of this Lord's Day, where are you? Is your heart touched by Jesus? Are you near to Him? Or are you at a distance? Dear unconverted friend, you are at a great distance. Oh, that you would be brought to Christ. Dear child of God, if you're backsliding, there's a distance. Let the distance be closed by the faithful shepherd, and that you would be near to the heart of Jesus. In the evening of this day, where are you? If you're not near to Christ, make sure you seek Him before a new day, before the sun arises on a new day. Let this evening hour be an evening when you are near to Jesus, when you know that peace in your soul. So many in this country, they're far away. What a blessing in the evening of this day to be near to Jesus. Amen. Just stand up.